Dirt and Sprague.
And we've made adjustments in our league. We were focused on automatic qualifiers. We're not focused on that anymore. We're looking at, you know, the committee picking the field of 24. We feel that that ultimately will still unlock the power of scheduling that we want.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Drilled out to center. Does he have another? Wow! Dom Kidd zone! His second home run tonight inside Dodger Stadium.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague. I'm Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello. Happy hump day. Little shimmy.
What is happening?
Feeling good on a Wednesday morning.
Feeling fantastic.
Nice to be with everybody today. Wanted to consumed a lot of Big Ten content yesterday. Missed some of the speeches, so went back to the network and rewatched some of them.
Big Ten Media Day, day one, catch the fever.
I want to ask you a sports question off the jump.
Fire away.
Is there a more anticipated player to fail than Bryce Underwood?
Dare I ask? Anticipated to fail.
Outside of the blue and maize related media bubble,
yes.
It feels like this is 100% nobody buying that this guy is good.
Yes, I agree with
or
that.
Or is going to take a leap to surprise in the Big Ten.
I think in terms of things that people are not buying happening, Bryce Underwood being good is relatively high on the list. And I don't know if that's fair to him because he was a true freshman and it's really hard.
Who was his coach?
That didn't end well either. I don't really know if that guy knew what he was doing. Had some different priorities. By the way, she did her first interview, The Accuser. Have you seen that one on CBS? Oh, my God.
Did she do that like a month ago?
Was it a month ago? Maybe I just saw it. I don't know. I saw the clips of it. It was like, Jesus, I knew that was bad. But
pretty awful.
Every time you watch a video or an interview, it gets even worse than the first one. Yeah, in terms of not expecting it, I would be very surprised. If Bryce Underwood came out this year and was the caliber of quarterback of, like, you could make an argument he's first team all Big Ten, I would be shocked.
See, you don't need to be that good.
Even in the conversation of third team or
yeah, that's all, what I'm saying.
You know, all mention or what are they?
Second,
you
know, or third team.
Honorable mention.
If they're a 10-win team, he's going to be in that conversation, I would imagine,
you
right?
You would think so, unless they just win with dominant defense and they run the ball and he throws like 14 touchdown passes and Michigan wins the Michigan way that they have. I mean, they won 8 games. They beat Ohio State 2 years ago without throwing a forward pass. So they are capable of winning games that way with the Michigan DNA.
14 throws for touchdown passes would be what we call an Eric Crouch Heisman season. But let's not linger on that one.
Is he going to have 2,000 rushing yards too? I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, I was watching the network and they were going in between the coaches' speeches.
Right.
And like even the network itself, right? You watch these media days on SEC Network, the ACC Network, the Big Ten.
Yes.
Dude, the Big Ten Network itself, their pundits were like, I'm not really buying Michigan. I don't know if their offense is going to be able to deliver. Like they kept basically saying he sucks without saying he sucks.
Without calling him individually out. Like, their offense is going to suck. Why? Because they have a problem at quarterback.
Right.
That's the issue there. I don't think anybody questions Michigan's offensive line. They signed, I believe, the number one running back in the country last year, who's going to be a true freshman. I don't know if he plays right away. But he was, I believe, the number one running back in the country. So they got some highly touted guys on that side of the ball.
I have no dog in the Michigan fight. I will always kind of like Michigan because I think their uniforms are cool and whatever.
Yeah, the helmet's badass.
But I don't, like, ultimately, if they're 7-5, I don't really care.
Right, doesn't affect you at all.
Exactly. I'm kind of been put in a spot now where I was sitting on my couch. So picture this. My wife and my daughters are out. They're running errands.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to hang back. I'm going to do some show prep. I had a lot of audio I needed to send swag, and I wanted to watch a couple of the coaches that I missed.
See some press conferences.
About a half a gummy in, I'm sitting there doing show prep, and it starts hitting, and I'm watching, and I'm just like, it just feels like it's repeated over and over,
over
and over.
And
I'm like,
and over.
Hey, man, can we give this kid a chance?
Give him a break, man.
I'm just on my couch.
He was
and I'm
a
like,
freshman, all right?
Nobody. Like, yeah, it was a very bad season.
Very bad season.
But you, me, venture to guess swag, anybody that watches college football, covers college football, again, outside of the blue and maize, I have not seen one Zag to the Bryce Underwood sucks and we all know it zig. I haven't seen one. I haven't read one. I haven't seen one.
Nobody has the balls for that take.
Everybody's like, Lloyd Carr's grandson's going to play by week
three. Have you seen his brother at Notre Dame? He might win the Heisman Trophy this year. He might win a national championship this year. Go get the Carr kid in there.
I found myself kind of getting mad, and I don't really have any. I don't Bryce Underwood stock. I don't care about Michigan being good.
It is funny how, and I, you know, we do this in the NFL too. Like, if a rookie quarterback has a really bad year, we're all kind of collectively out on him, and whether it's fair or not, that's just kind of the way that we operate. And sometimes it ends up being true. Sometimes guys end up turning it around, right? You have Jared Goff's rookie year. Now look at his career. Peyton Manning, I think, doesn't he still hold the record for interceptions as a rookie in the NFL? He threw like 20 of them things in Indy and went on to have a Hall of Fame career. So guys have turned it around, but it is hilarious how quickly we judge the, nope, he doesn't have it. And I think part of it is that he didn't go to a program. Like, one of the other highly touted freshmen, we don't talk about them at all because the program's irrelevant, but one of the other highly touted quarterbacks went to Maryland and started right away as a freshman. Do we remember anything about his freshman year?
Is that the Washington kid?
I think it's Malik Washington, I think is his name. I can't even tell you his name for 100% certainty. We don't talk about that kid at all.
If they play UW, I just keep tabs on it and watch like two quarters of a game.
And he was fine. It wasn't great, but also he was at Maryland, so there were no expectations. When you're this level of kid and you go to Michigan on top of it.
He's the number one.
Underwood was the number one kid coming out, and he had a controversial flip late because he was committed to LSU for a long time, and then Michigan gave him a lot of money to come Dan Arbor, and it didn't pan out. His numbers, by the way, I knew that they were bad. Washington, Malik Washington, 17 touchdowns, 9 picks last year.
That's not a bad freshman year.
Not terrible, especially at Maryland. Bryce Underwood was 11 touchdowns, 9 picks.
How many yards?
He threw for 2,428 yards.
How many did he rush for?
He rushed for a total of 392.
Okay, so not a big mobile quarterback the way I thought.
Again, that's the tough part, is that sack yardage can get taken out of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
that.
He
yeah,
probably right. rushed for about 500 yards, I'd guess, on the season if you just average it out and take out the sack yardage.
Completion percentage?
60%.
In college, it's a little different than the NFL.
College, you need to be, you want to be a little bit higher.
You want to be higher than 60.
Especially when a lot of these college offenses are running a ton of bubble screens and a lot of like quick out stuff and get rid of the ball.
Side note, why do we count sack yardage as quarterback rush yardage?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we do that in the season end or if it's a game-by-game thing, but I'm pretty confident they take it out for quarterbacks in college.
Yes, college and quarterbacks, because
I'm dumbfounded by it.
I'm dumbfounded by it, too.
It ruins it. I mean, like, he might have had 600 rushing yards, but he might have been sacked so damn much.
Team rushing yards, I'm fine. Like, if you want to take it off the end of the game, the team had 190 yards, but you lost 30 in sack yardage, and you want to take it off the team statistic?
Well, the NFL
just
switched
have a separate stat for it.
Yeah, you should.
Sack yardage.
I mean, when the modern forward pass came into the game in the 70s or whenever the hell we stopped running the wing T, most schools. Yeah, the NFL, I forget, I think it was in the 80s or maybe early 90s, because the NFL used to do the same thing,
and they stopped doing it.
And then they said, no, if he's dropping back and it's a passing play, it's not a rushing attempt.
Right, if you can sack him for 12-yard loss, that
shouldn't
count.
I don't know why college.
That's one of the worst stats in all of
that's
sports,
one of the
in my opinion.
That's college football being stuck in 1905.
No doubt about it. But like, if you were to rank the bad stats, right, analytics takes they take a lot of flack. What's your Babbitt right now? what's your VORP? Right? There's stats that you can say that like, what? What is that?
Right.
Right? Yeah. I honestly believe, even with the advanced analytics that most of us don't really follow or understand, that are like super nerdy, all of that included, I think counting sack yards away from your rushing yard total is the dumbest stat thing we do, debatably. Yeah.
It's hard to disagree with that. It's hard to disagree.
In the NFL, it's its own stat, and it comes off net passing yards for the team. Not the individual quarterback's passing yards.
Right, but net passing yards
for the team. Net passing yards for the team.
Yeah, if you want to take away a team stat, whatever, or have a side stat, that's fine with me. I don't get bothered by that.
You can create its own stat.
Totally fine.
You can have a team. We can find out what team creates the most yards loss in sacks. And you're probably going to respond, Sprague, this is on that website. They already do this. No doubt about it.
Right.
But like, I don't like that it impacts that stat specifically.
Like, I'll use one game as an example. They beat the Huskies 24-7. Michigan did last year. It's actually maybe his best game of the year. He threw for 230 yards.
They choked that game away, I want to say.
Washington did?
No. Well, what was the final score?
Michigan beat them 24-7. They dominated that game. Yeah. I remember that one because it was one of those Washington got off to an okay start, and that was their first, like, we're going on the road.
My mistake. When you said Washington, I was was thinking about, didn't the Huskies play Maryland last year?
The Huskies did play Maryland. Maryland had a huge lead on him, and Washington came back and won the game. They were down by 20-something. And in that game, he had 7 carries for 25 yards, but he had a long run of 17. Now, I don't remember that game specifically, but if you have 1 carry for 17 yards, and then you're telling me the 6 others only went for 8, I'd imagine sack yard is involved in that.
Yeah, so the idea that somebody is something year one and can't be improved in this modern age of football has already been proven to be incorrect.
Yes, especially with a new coach, too, who's coming in who clearly knows what he's doing.
But there was people coming out of the Michigan stuff saying at the spring that he didn't look better, but that's also, it's spring football. So, like, how many eggs do you put in the spring football basket?
You should put maybe a quarter of an egg into the spring football basket, but that's about it. I did. You know me. I'm a psycho. I have a problem. I think you did, too. I watched their spring game, and it was...
But when Winningham has a guy, because he's played quarterback roulette a little bit at Utah.
Yeah, he has.
But when he has a guy, it's his guy.
It is.
What's the guy that played 18 years there?
The Musketeer, dude. He was there for 15 years. Why am I blanking on his
name? Oh, my God. He was...
How are we all going to
forget? Raining down terror on the Pac-12.
Cam Rising.
All 19 seasons of college football that Cam Rising played. Like,
he is.
If he was healthy, Whittingham was playing him.
He is. I still love looking at Cam Rising stats and seasons because he played all the way until a couple of years ago, and he's already like 28 years old. It is bonkers how long that guy was in college football.
I put
for.
Too much stock in Cam Rising in one of his last years.
Yeah, he won a Pac-12 championship, and then they got to the Rose Bowl, and he got hurt, and they had to put the pig farmer out there, and then he just never stayed healthy again. Yeah. Every year we did the same thing with Utah going into the year, and then Cam Rising would get hurt in the first, I don't know, 12 snaps of the season, and everything would go out the window.
See, I think even Arch... You might not be a believer in Arch Manning. Maybe you do because the end of the year numbers look much better than the beginning of the season numbers.
Yeah.
But he's polarizing.
Yes, he is.
There's a lot of noise that he's one of the Heisman favorites again, and people are buying it, and they're saying, oh, look what he did in games 9, 10, 11, and 12. Mm-hmm. It's a universal truth, according to everybody, that Bryce Underwood
sucks. This guy's terrible.
And you know what doesn't help his case? Here's what I was thinking about, because I got into this mental vortex of, yo, man, why don't we give this kid a chance, man? Why are we punting on this kid?
Give him an opportunity.
And you know what I think it is? I think he got hurt by, one, going to Michigan.
And taking the money.
Well, taking the money's okay. Take the bag. But he chose Michigan. Who was the quarterback of Michigan before Bryce Underwood?
I can't even remember the cat's name at the start of the year before.
Alex freaking Orji.
Yeah.
Who I was told was some absolute stud unit of a quarterback, and then he could not throw a ball forward.
Freak athlete, but could not play quarterback.
And so I think, unfortunately, what we did was Alex Orji just played here, sucked. You don't look great. You also suck.
You're a good athlete, but...
There we go. We have defined it. I think what happened is Alex Orji has hurt Bryce Underwood.
The Arch thing is good, too, because I do think there's a lot of people who were rooting against Arch this year for what the name, the hype, right? You want it to fail. That's a easy thing to root for as a fan. Sometimes the noise gets too loud. There's a difference between being like, I don't know if I buy this guy as a Heisman candidate and a national title winner off of the season he had, which was 26 touchdowns and 7 interceptions on the season, and a guy being good who threw 11 touchdowns and 9 picks. There were some just the two games that stand out to me from Underwood last year that I remember vividly. Do you remember the Northwestern game they played at Wrigley Field? They played at Wrigley against Northwestern, and he turned the ball over so many times, and he kept trying to hand it to Northwestern, and they couldn't win. They couldn't kick. They couldn't convert anything. They ended up winning the game 24-22, but it was one of the uglier quarterback performances I've ever seen. And then against Ohio State, who we knew was very talented, especially on the defensive side of the ball last year, he completed 8 passes for 60 yards in that game.
Not great.
That's so bad, man.
Bob.
8 for 60?
That's pretty bad.
That is so bad. It's one thing, again, to be like, Arch, let me pull up Arch's stat line against Ohio
Arch
State.
Arch had good numbers at the end. I won't argue against it. I don't know how much of a believer in Arch I am.
So, like, Arch Manning bad against Ohio State, right? Week one, first ever, like, big
bad
time
the
start.
First couple, you know,
he was awful the first month of the season, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
But that they scored 7 points. He threw a late.
Yeah.
He completed 17 passes at least for 170 yards. Like, that's not good. It was a really bad performance. 8 for 60?
8 for 60.
I mean, that's like some JV high school football stuff, man.
Is there a program he could have transferred when Sharon Moore got fired?
Got out of there.
Is there a program and coach that you would have a differing opinion? Or at least you would say, I need to see it? Because I don't even know if people are saying, I need to see it. I think people are saying, when is Lloyd Carr's grandson going to be the starting quarterback for Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. I'll follow up. What are your thoughts on DJ Lagway at Baylor this year?
I don't have a lot of faith because I actually think Dave Aranda's going to get fired.
He was the number one quarterback in the country. Now, he started two-ish years. I don't think he started every game, but he was there for 2 years.
The problem
was a year older, but it's the same thing. Nobody's looking at Baylor like, oh, look out. Here comes DJ Lagway.
Part of that is talent profile, right? Yeah. How you did in the portal and what your recruiting rankings are and all that stuff, returning talent. What I would say about Lagway, there are physical tools with Lagway that we can all see when we see him play.
He's a better thrower of the football.
The problem is, I think his coach is actually worse than him.
Which one? The one he had in Florida or the one he has
now?
The one
he has now. The one in Florida got fired.
He did.
Think that was absolutely true.
He got canned.
And so I think he just took the only bag he was given in the Power Four, because if he was actually wanted, Baylor would not have had DJ Lagway.
Mm.
And so I think it's desperation hour for Lagway and Aranda.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have been more let down by a coach hire than Dave Aranda.
Right.
I thought Dave Aranda was really going to have Baylor in a conversation and be basically what Texas Tech is. And it's been massively disappointing.
I think they had 1 year where they won, and it was like, there's
Dave. I think
it was
his first year.
Dave Aranda, and then every year since then, it's
been
really
bad. Big 12
title
game, maybe year one, and then after that, it's just been, meh.
He's also, like, the king of the very weird quote of, like, what are you talking about right now, which makes people question a lot of things, too, on top of it.
He's the DC of the LSU 2019 championship team. I just assumed, because I didn't have faith that was really Ed O.
Right.
I assumed Joe Brady and Dave Aranda were basically
Running the show. Yeah. His second year at Baylor, they won 12 games. That was in 2021. His first year was COVID, which is like,
that doesn't count.
2021, first full year, 12-2, they won the Sugar Bowl. I think they did win the Big 12 that year.
And they knocked somebody out of the Big 12 title game.
They beat somebody and knocked them out of the playoffs.
Maybe Iowa State?
Could have been.
Brock Purdy?
Could have been. And then 22-6-7, 23-3-9, 24-8-5, last year 5-7. So a 12-1 season and then 6-3-8-5 the next 4 years. And they have not moved on from him.
What sample size are you willing to trust there?
That's a pretty big sample size. I think a lot of it does depend on, to your point, where you end up going. Because to be fair, this was kind of my guy last year. Like, this is what the thought was on Dante Moore, but the difference was he went to a place where there was a proven track record of turning quarterbacks around, and there was never going to be a question about the amount of talent that surrounded him on the field. You don't feel that way about Baylor, in a Lagway example. Underwood obviously didn't transfer, but this, like, quarterbacks have shown, and we've seen it, especially in college football. Michael Penix is the most intimidating quarterback I've had to face in the last decade, and he was what at Indiana? Like, he had a couple of moments in the COVID year, but it wasn't like he was a jaw-dropping player at Indiana. Kind of came out of nowhere. We made fun of Washington when they announced Penix was going to be their starter. So guys have turned it around, but the buy-in for Bryce Underwood, I'm with you, it's probably as low as any quarterback in college football.
I want to ask you a question because I actually don't know where I sat in the moment. Did we laugh at Washington announcing Michael Penix? Because they had Dylan Morris, and he...
We did, because remember, they had They had a new coach taking over.
I didn't think Penix would be as good as he was. I'll admit that.
No,
but I don't know if I laughed.
Talk about other number one quarterbacks. Who was their number one quarterback? They had the number one quarterback in the country on their roster. It was Sam Huard.
And
he had not played yet.
That's
and it was like, what are you doing starting this transfer from Indiana?
I kind of remember.
You have
some
the
of that.
Number one quarterback in the country play him. And I think that kid ended up at Montana, or I don't know where the hell he ended up transferring, but it didn't work out for him.
I can't wait to see what Jared Curtis is at Vandy, because if he's not good, I might have the fundamental belief of, I never want my team to get the number one.
This is the last one. Or at least if you get him, don't play him, right? Like, that's the other thing.
He's going to suck right away, so either it's transfer or he's to sit a season.
Right. Arch Manning was the number one guy, and he sat for 2 years.
Dante.
Sucked
at UCLA, sat for a year, finally found it.
Worked out for him eventually in the long run.
I felt bad yesterday for Bryce Underwood. I'm like, he's just catching strays left and right all offseason.
There was another highlight of him. The training videos don't help when you're coming off of a bad year and people aren't buying. There was a training video of him that came out where it showed him doing like some speed and agility training. And everybody's like, dude, that's not what you need to work on, man. Yeah. We know that you're a good – nice cuts. Those are good cuts back and forth. Can you throw a 15-yard dig?
It's the throwing
that's
of the football.
What
well,
people
sir.
Want to see, dude, not the athletic part. We all know you could do that.
We got a loaded show today. Jake Butt's going to hop on the Big Ten Network at 7:04. So we have another guest hopping in the cafe with us. We will have leftovers from the cafe, I'm sure, and get to a lot of the dealings from yesterday around the sports landscape. It is a status story Wednesday, Dirt and Sprague. Let's get it going next on 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Sorry, college football started the radio program today. I've been fired up about it. It's nice to have it back in my life.
We'll get Dan Lanning today. Not on the show, but tomorrow we'll have the audio.
Yeah, Dan Lanning's going to take the podium at around 10:45-ish, but it's probably going to be at a different time than that.
Yeah, usually run a little late on these things.
So we'll get to that today. A little peekaboo of old Dan Lanning.
Dante Moore. It's going to be a fun day.
I could not stop watching. There was a video that came out yesterday, and I watched every single available second of it. And, Dirt, that was Tony Romo's cop cam pull over for his OWI in Wisconsin, his OUI.
He got an OUI in Wisconsin.
And it's about a 10-minute video. I recorded most of it, and then I'm like, I'm not going to play a 2-minute-plus video. So I recorded the first 54 seconds of the video.
We just have it be an entire segment. Here's the Tony Romo arrest cam. We'll see you next segment. All right, later.
Well, I just was fascinated by it, and then I started watching it, and I couldn't look away. I was like, I have to finish this whole thing. They did the pullover. You'll hear the audio of that. And then he has to step out of the car. She cuffs him. He debates whether he should go in her squad car on this side or that side because of oncoming traffic. He tries to call his lawyer. She says, put the phone down. He's like, I'm not legally allowed to call my lawyer.
Yeah.
I don't know the legalities of that. I'm not going to dive into that stuff. But it's a back and forth. And she's like, we're going to take you somewhere quiet and closed off so you could do a field sobriety test. He agrees to that.
Put him in handcuffs to take him there, too, before he'd even taken the field sobriety
test. She's putting him in the back of the car with the suspicion he is drunk. So she cuffs him, puts him in the back. He comes out. The next video you see is him at basically the police station parking lot underground.
Right.
And, there's nothing that resonated with me more as an almost 40-year-old than having to watch Tony Romo stretch before conducting a field sobriety test. Boys, you mind if I get my quads going?
Dude, he stretched for like 2.5-3 minutes.
Well, he's trying to clearly sober up. I mean, he's delaying.
In his defense, I will say, sitting in a cramped cop car, how many back surgeries has he had in his career?
And he noted that, too. He's like, sorry, back surgeries, guys.
You just put me back here. I'm 6'4". I don't fit in the back of a cop car. Can I stretch out before you ask me to walk in a straight line? But it was funny. He was like down on all fours, getting his calisthenics in.
He does the heel-to-toe walk the line thing, and he doesn't actually put his heels to toes. He just walks forward. But what was funny was how many times he was asking the cop to demo. She's like, now, do you understand what I'm asking you to do? Not really, no. Can you show? Like, I just kept laughing because he's like clearly delaying.
Stall tactic. It's like my 2-year-old going to bed.
Yeah,
one more book, one more of this. Like, no, this is a delay tactic. Get your ass to bed.
So here was the initial pullover audio between Tony Romo and the Milwaukee-based police officer.
Hi there. Deputy Corps, Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office.
Were you speaking on the speaker right there?
I was.
I didn't even know you guys said that. So sorry.
All right. Reason for my stop today.
Yep. That was what you said.
Yep. Gotcha. Reason for my stop today is the unsafe passing on the right, the lane deviation.
Say it louder. I'm sorry.
Unsafe passing on the right, cutting across the gore. Obviously, the gore?
Yes.
It's the marked area.
Gotcha.
Where are you coming from?
Well, I live in Dallas, so I came in to visit. So we're here, I'm going to need that, but I got the gore.
You got the what?
The gore, you said?
Yeah.
That's what it is where you cross it?
Yep.
Yes. I got what you're saying. You said
and you were coming from Grandma and Grandpa? What did you say? It's really hard to hear you, dude.
I can't hear you either.
I know. We got to basically yell at each other, right?
I feel like I'm yelling at you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Where are you coming from?
The golf course.
Oh.
Yeah, I never say that.
And it was over after that because when you say the golf course... I think a lot of cops who are suspicious of you maybe drinking are going to conclude,
what have you been doing at the golf course?
You've been drinking.
He then added a few minutes later when mentioning the golf course again, he was like, no, I played in the Wisconsin amateur tournament. Like, he tried to classify that it wasn't a round of golf with buddies. Have we confirmed that his grandma and grandpa live in Wisconsin?
I think he said mom and dad, did he?
I think he said grandma and grandpa, but maybe I'm wrong on that. I thought it was grandma and grandpa.
His grandma and grandpa are still alive.
That's why everybody was like, what?
He's older than me.
Right.
My grandparents have been dead for what feels like a decade.
That's why everybody thought, did you just make that off the cuff? You happen to be in Wisconsin playing in a golf tournament, and did you just say that? Was that your lie to the cops?
I'm going to believe him. Like, why would you bust that out? He said the same last name, so he went with that. If he says, I just got done playing at the pro golf tournament out at this course that was on TV, is she as suspicious versus him just saying, the golf course?
No, not as much. If he would have classified right off of the gate, I played in a official golf tournament.
I'm exhausted. I apologize. Like, if he comes off that way, I actually didn't think it was the worst video and audio you could have had.
No. By the way, his grandparents do live in Wisconsin.
That's crazy.
And according to Google, they are still alive.
Good for them.
So, got that going for him.
Got to be in their 80s, 90s.
He was telling the truth then, I guess. Tournament to go see grandma and grandpa. Good for Tony Romo.
Yeah, the stretching before field sobriety test was a new one to watch.
Look, these videos are always tough because then you go to the place of like, well, does he look like he's intoxicated? And there's moments where it's yes.
What did you think?
I mean, he certainly had a few beverages.
He had a little slurry vibe to him.
There was a little bit of that. I don't know what the classification is in Wisconsin and what the line is. He didn't take a breathalyzer test, and he refused when he was in police custody. They said, do you want to take a breathalyzer? And he said, no, I've heard that you never do that. One of the takeaways was they didn't let him call his lawyer. Now, again, I don't know much about that, but Google AI is telling me that you are not – they don't have to technically allow you in that moment to call your lawyer when you're sitting in the car. Now, eventually, they got to hand you your phone. You got to make a phone call if you get arrested. But there's nothing in law according to this. Now, maybe people can tell me I'm wrong on that. It's always tough because you don't know. Nobody has any clue how much he actually had to drink. Was it just a long day? Was he up at 4 o'clock in the morning? Was he actually hammered? We'll never know the answer to that complete question. The funniest moment of the entire thing, though, was when he was, other than stretching, getting ready to do the field sobriety test, was the cop, that lady cop asked him, have you had any head injuries recently? And you can tell in his head he's like chuckling of like, she has no idea who I am and how many concussions.
Oh, she didn't know who he was at
all. She did not.
Ran the ID and still didn't come back and go, oh, hey, I watched
you play. On CBS, or you were the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys for like a decade.
He even dropped it. I live in Dallas.
I live in Dallas. I'm just here playing in a golf tournament. And I don't know if there was other male cops around at that time, so I don't know if they knew who he was either.
Yeah.
But after asking him if he had head injuries, he chuckled and he was like, well, yeah, I mean, I've had a lot, but none recently. And you could tell that was a little internal chuckle on him of like, yeah, a lot of concussions, but nothing in the last 2 months.
I was wondering how many of the, because when she gets back to the police station to do the field sobriety for him, he's surrounded by like five people, including
yes,
her.
Yes.
And nobody's like saying anything crazy. They're just asking him to do the test. He's asking a million follow-up questions to every single thing he's asked to do. She had him test like stand on one leg. And I think he was supposed to be standing for a minute.
Right.
And immediately he puts his leg up, and you can tell he's like starting to walk a little bit.
Oh, this isn't going well.
Which, by the way, I'm not going to act like I wouldn't do that, maybe even stone cold, super sober.
I always think about field sobriety tests of like, there's moments.
Pass?
If you pull me over on my way to work to do this show, if I'm speeding and I get pulled over, there's a decent chance I'm wobbling, if you ask me.
Really?
Stand. I mean, it's early in the morning. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Cars are whizzing by you on the highway. You're trying to focus on standing on one leg.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could pull that off.
Yeah. There's elements of it, like would I walk a complete straight line, heel to toe?
I think that I could, but what if I didn't?
What if I did the nose tap and I like missed the top, the tip of my nose?
Oh, that was too high on the nose.
See what I'm saying?
Book him, Dano. You're gone.
You're arrested. You're drunk. No, I'm not. I promise.
It's over.
But he had a moment and a vibe where he realized she didn't know who he was. But he looked around to every male cop, like,
yes, do you know who I am? Can somebody
a couple
step
back
in
surgeries?
Here? Yeah. A lot of concussions back in the day. Anybody connecting any dots?
Any football fans in this building?
Anybody Cowboy fan in here? Huh? Anybody a Packer fan? Who did we lose to in the playoffs? Anybody a Seahawks fan? Remember when I couldn't hold on to that PAT? Remember that? Or the field goal attempt?
That was a catch at Lambeau, by the way, right? For the record.
What are you talking about, huh?
Should have been in the NFC title game.
What's Lambeau Field? We don't know. Damn it! This isn't the crowd that I needed to get out of this.
I'd say this. Never a good look.
No.
Driving under the influence. You don't want that. But I think overall, if you're a CBS exec, and you're in the defense of keeping Tony Romo and not wanting this to be worse, I thought the video was like, yeah, it wasn't like he was absolutely ass-housed.
No.
I'm not excusing it.
No.
Drunk, he shouldn't be driving.
No.
But I was...
But again, we also don't know how drunk, you know...
Yeah, exactly. I was also playing the game of, like, how drunk do I think this guy is, which is part of the reason I don't think I could take my eyes off the video.
Right. It was, yeah, his hair was flopping all over the place, too. His strategy, from what I read, is going to be he's going to fade to the background for a while. He's dropping out of every golf tournament he has between now and the official start of football season.
I mean, that's what you needed.
And he's got $100 million job at CBS that he's not going to risk losing, and so we're going to fade, let this thing die over a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the week after Labor Day, you're going to hear, Jim, and he's going to be back in the broadcast.
Swag brought it up yesterday. Like, it's not like he's the first one.
No, and that's the other thing. Like, I think every able-bodied male, if you ask the question of, have you had a beer or two and driven home from the golf course before?
Mm-hmm. But we don't know if it was a beer or two.
We don't know. That's the thing. We have no idea.
Was it a cocktail?
He did not take a breathalyzer test, but that's the hard... When you see the video and you're like, well, he's clearly not falling over drunk, there's a balance there of, like, I don't want to yell too much about it, because at one point in life, we've all been at that moment where you had two beers and you drove home from the golf course.
Yeah, but if you weren't drunk, you'd take a breathalyzer, I think, right?
But, yeah.
I don't know the legalities of that stuff.
How many beers does it take you to hit to the threshold?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Did I have my beers early in the golf round? Did I have them late in the golf round?
Well, I don't think he drank during the golf round.
He was plus 35, so I don't know. Maybe he started popping shooters.
Can you drink in that tournament?
I don't know. You could probably sneak it. Like, there's not an official out there on every hole, I'd imagine. If you got a little thing in your bag, you can get it done.
If a tournament provided driving, like drivers,
yeah,
to every golfer, and they invited the PGA guys, it's a pro-AM. Like, who would be the best drunk golfer?
John Daly.
John Daly. I think he
John
won
Daly's
tournaments drunk. But yeah, competitive golfers now.
Like, who would you pick on the tour actively?
Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
He seems like he's already played a round or two drunk.
Well, how many other guys have beer endorsements? Because he has Michelob Ultra.
He does. Does anybody else have a... I don't think anybody else does.
I will drink a Michelob Ultra on the course. Because of Brooks Koepka.
This is a random tangent, but did you see Michael Kim shot a 59 last week?
And dude, it was nailed the 24-foot putt to
awesome,
do it.
Right?
It was amazing.
And I highlighted how he is a great Twitter follow.
Yeah.
He does a lot of funny behind-the-scenes things. Did you see his thing on Siwoo Kim yesterday?
I did not.
It's just totally random.
You mean Siwoo Him?
Siwoo Him, yes. So they're playing, or they're in Detroit, right, for the Rocket Mortgage right now?
They were in Minnesota last
week.
They're in Detroit this week.
Get this story yesterday. So this is a Siwoo Kim story. There's a solid Korean barbecue restaurant in Detroit that they like to go to the week the tournament's there. Mm-hmm. He texted Siwoo Kim, Michael Kim did, and said, hey, do you want to go grab dinner at this Korean place? He said, yes, I'm in. Let's do it. So Siwoo Kim searches the name of the restaurant on Google Maps. And without much thinking, he just plugs in the address and just starts following the directions. He's not from Detroit. He doesn't know where he's going. I'm just going to this Korean barbecue place. Before he realizes it's too late, he is heading over the Canadian border to go because there was a restaurant with the exact same name in Detroit, and there's one that was technically closer to his hotel in Canada, and it just sent him to the closest one. And he got in line at the border, and at that point, you can't turn around. Like, there's cars behind you. So he's freaking out, like, what am I going to do? He just has his wallet. He doesn't have his passport. Mm-hmm. He gets through, and he ended up having to talk to 9 different officers that surrounded his car trying to figure out, what's this guy doing? Why is he trying to cross the border? And he got held up for like an hour and a half. They searched his car for drugs and weapons, and then he finally was allowed to drive back across the border and come back into the United States.
They were nervous of Siwoo Kim?
They're just like, who's this guy trying to cross the border? He doesn't have a passport on him. Like, what are we doing here, man?
He's doing it all for the love of Korean barbecue.
And he's just trying to, like, I'm just trying to go to a Korean barbecue place, man. It was a really funny story.
Who doesn't love a Korean barbecue place?
you're asking about drunk golfers made me think of that. Siwoo Kim was not drunk, but funny behavior of like, plug in the address. We'll find a way there. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I could not look away. I don't watch a lot of the videos when these happen, but there was something about watching Romo's. And then like the weird, I don't know, just kind of odd to watch him get handcuffed.
It was twice. The first time to go to the facility to take the test, and then afterwards they were like, turn around. He was like, oh, so I didn't pass. They didn't even tell him at first. He was like,
no, I think he says, I'm like, did I pass? And then there's quiet, and he goes, I didn't pass.
Just turns around,
puts his arms on his back.
Take your cuffs. Thankfully, he's worth a lot of money, and so all of this will eventually go away.
Have you been arrested?
I have never been arrested. I've never been placed in handcuffs.
Really?
Yeah. I got a minor in possession.
You got an MIP and you didn't get arrested?
I did not get arrested. They just handed me the ticket, yeah. Oh. Made me pour out my beer and handed me a ticket.
Yeah, pour out your beer. As long as you're, if you're just hanging out.
I was just walking, yeah. So you can't, I mean, I don't
think. Yeah, you pour it out and make sure there's no more alcohol.
And you get it was really dumb. It was stupid. I had to go to diversion for like a day and a half on a weekend.
That's brutal.
Oh, it sucks, man.
Yeah, I've only been arrested twice.
Twice? Two arrests? In
twice.
Handcuffs?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. First time was at Lloyd Center. We were doing stuff. We got caught. We got put in handcuffs, taken to a back room, and put on a do not allow them to enter for 10 years.
You got 86 from the Lloyd Center?
I did. I ended up working at Lloyd Center like 5 years later. They had no idea.
They didn't remember that, huh?
No, no.
That kind of confirms the theory that 86ing is just not a real thing.
It's made up.
When you see, like, that fan is banned from the arena. Like, how?
Right.
You're going to remember his name if he buys a ticket?
They put a flock camera in that arena. They might be like, digitally, there he is.
Section 12C.
But yeah, I got arrested there. And then the other time I got arrested, this one, look, I deserve to be 86th from Lloyd Center. We were stupid. The second time I got arrested was in Corvallis, and I will maintain, in all honesty, I went to pick up my now wife. It was 12:30 p.m. She was working by herself on the campus. Or 12:30 a.m. I didn't want her walking home.
Middle of the night.
I wasn't going crazy. I was going 25 miles an hour in my residential.
Corvallis cops,
cop
man.
Cop followed me half a mile, flashes, pull over, says I ran a stop sign. I disagree with him, like, strongly.
Adamantly.
Comes back, told me my license was suspended. I had no idea because they sent me something in the mail during July. I didn't live there in July. They took me out of the car, put me on the sidewalk, handcuffed me. Searched my car. Six cops came up. I'm now pissed off.
You sound like Siwoo Kim in Canada right now.
It really was.
Like,
it was
what
exactly
is happening
the
right
they
now?
They were pulling. What is this? I was like, it's a weight for my weighted vest.
What do you think it is? What do you think? I'm pushing.
It's not drugs.
Pushing cocaine here? What the hell's the matter with you?
They basically uncuffed me, said I could not drive my car. They all left. Monsoon rained on me literally as they left.
Nice.
It was one of the worst nights of my
Did
life.
Did they take your keys?
I think they did, and they said they'd be at the DMV.
Okay.
And I had to go to the DMV the next morning.
Because if they would not have taken your keys, how long would you have waited around until you drove away? 5 minutes? You give it five? You give it 10? Two?
A guy I know got his license suspended and may have driven all 6 months his license was suspended because he needed to get to work.
I mean, you got to get to work.
But that's what that guy did. I don't know. You know, I don't know what I would do.
Could or could not have been anybody. Yeah. We don't know.
All right. We got a lot more to get into. Cafe de Dirt and Sprague with Jake Butt at 7 a.m. Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more on The Fan. We have a lot to get into today. Cafe de Dirt and Sprague is going to have another guest. We will have Jake Butt coming up top of the hour. Big Ten Network. Big Ten Media Day rolls on. We had... let's see, Iowa, Illinois, USC.
Rutgers,
Penn State.
I think that was it yesterday, right?
Isn't it?
I think that was it.
Five or six?
I think it was four.
Or six each six. Day.
Who was the one? Who are we forgetting?
Iowa, Illinois,
if
Rutgers,
we're forgetting them, are
Penn
they important?
Penn State, USC, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, that's right.
And no, they're not important because I think Fickle's lame duck, but they're going to roll with Luke Fickle again. I would also just defend real quick, because this is not what I wanted to talk about in the segment.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of these coaches, they show them in the hallways walking towards the podium and they shake hands with random media members like they're old friends. It's the fakest thing I've ever seen.
Unless you're James Franklin, because then I think he legitimately knows your date of birth, your kid's first and last name, and it's like, dude, why do you know this much about me?
Matt Campbell and Luke Fickle both took the stage yesterday and it was an immediate, whoa! Those guys feeling good about their programs because they're super tan.
That's a good tan look right there. It's a good tan look.
Bielema had a big tan working, too.
So here's
Bielema
the problem.
Did, yeah.
I saw him in the hallway. Like, you're looking at Shiano right now on the Big Ten Network as replaying. They're only that tan on the podium.
Oh, must be maybe a lighting
like
thing.
Luke Fickle has color, but he's not. He looked bronzed yesterday.
And then you get him at a different light, and it looks a little bit different. I didn't
totally
see a lot of the side-off interviews. I watch a lot of the press conference stuff. My guy better be white. White as snow today, man.
Oh, when you feel better,
he won't be
tan?
Whiter than Ryan Day.
I want him grinding. Who's the whiter coach, Ryan Day or Dan Lanning? That's a good poll question.
So
out of context, you have to be listening right now to be able to answer.
I'm not doing that poll.
You don't want to do that poll question?
I'm not doing that poll question.
First up at 9:30, our boy PJ Fleck rowing the boat.
PJ Fleck, we got to talk to him last year, didn't we? Or was that 2 years ago?
That was
like
2 years ago.
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
No.
It was a long time ago.
First year of them going.
He was a fun interview.
He was great.
Yeah, I remember
you saying. I wanted to get him on for the friggin' Oregon game, and they didn't get back to us.
You bastard, Minnesota. Who do you think
you
are?
So you got Pat Fitzgerald now at Michigan State, Barry Odom at Purdue, then Ryan Day, Bob Chesney at UCLA, and Lanning's last scheduled for 10:45 a.m. this morning.
All right, so we'll pass along anything. We got audio from yesterday's dealings, and we'll pass along and play some of the audio later on. But before we pivot into college football for hour two, I have one NFL segment. I got many NFL segments we could get to, but I have one that stood out.
There's a lot in the notes yesterday we didn't get to.
There is, and there's an update on Kyle Shanahan, and it's his fault, and there's contracts.
This story is so weird, man.
Very weird story.
What is going on here? Just get to the bottom of it and announce what happened.
Yeah.
Why did he have to call?
I think
he's like,
wait.
Hold on. You guys come in here. Why is this getting reported that it was her fault? And everybody's running with it. What is happening right now?
Well, it wasn't his fault or the team's fault. That was the, I forget who it is, the San Francisco or Palo Alto police thing that they got sent out. No, this is not that story. I don't know if you're a believer in this or if this makes you feel worse or better about a coach. There's a coach coming in with a really good NFL roster who just signed a stud defensive tackle to a monster extension yesterday that many are going, I don't know how to feel about him. He has a Super Bowl title, but is he elite? Is he good? Is he okay? Is he been carried by talent? It's a very odd thing what we do with Nick Sirianni. He's entering his sixth season, by the way, as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, he is.
And we found out via Tim McManus, you know Nick Sirianni's gearing up for a comeback season. You know what you need to do? You need to type into ChatGPT, how do I relate to my players?
You got ChatGPT? GPT? GPT. I can't say that
GPT.
Right. GPT. GPT. Thank you.
Nick Sirianni is using ChatGPT, according to Tim McManus'
ESPN
story. For what?
Not to call plays, is he? What are we doing here?
No, it's how to relate to players.
It's
basically, how am I cool to my players? He's looking for any and everything. He uses daily quizzes. He uses ChatGPT. He's just using anything he can get his hands on to try to be more likable and relatable with his players.
Look, maybe the robots will eventually take us over, and I could say to our overlords, I apologize for everything that I ever said. If there's an update on my head coach coming out of training camp that they're using ChatGPT to relate to players, I am immediately panicked about the upcoming season. We know that, right? Like, if that's your coach, you're all going there in the same spot, are you not?
I'm a little concerned.
What you're doing? That's the storyline out of week one of training camp, is that you're using a robot to help you relate to human beings? You've been a coach in the NFL for how long,
this
man?
This is sixth season.
You've won a Super Bowl. You know everybody on the roster. You've been there for a lot of their developments and the drafting of them. Like, how is that possible? I do believe, if I remember correctly now that you brought that up, I don't think we talked about it. Didn't he get caught using it in a prompt? In an email to the team, but he forgot to erase the ChatGPT.
This
part.
Is why when McManus wrote the story, Yahoo Sports followed it up and was like, "Did he get caught using AI?"
Absolutely did.
Now I'm a believer in AI can help you with a lot of things, but like there was an email I was going to send the other day, and my brother-in-law who uses AI far more than I probably ever will
hits the prompt, "Help me out, clean this thing up."
Prompts it up, and he gives me this laundry list written out email. He goes, "Just fill in the blanks." And I looked at him and I said, "I'll take the bullet point notes of what this is basically telling me to say, but I'm writing all this myself."
Yeah, I'm gonna.
It's me.
I have the ability to word this and write a couple of sentences.
Some people don't do that. Some people do just fill in the blanks and let the AI do the work.
Send the thing out.
See every high school student in America.
And college student.
But
too.
Yeah, he recently was bragging about his ChatGPT usage, and there was an email sent, and people were wondering, "Are you using it for every single element of your life?" Now I don't know if that's fully the truth, but it is a funny thing to admit out loud. As a coach, be like, ChatGPT helps me relate a little.
Again, if there's a prompt of a question, if there's a, like, we use it all the time to a certain extent on the show because we just Googled, is it legal to call your lawyer when you get pulled over for a DUI in Wisconsin? I don't know the answer to that. And I'm assuming that you know, an internet robot will know the answer to that question. When it comes to relating to players,
the email story, by the way, is fake.
Okay, the email story is fake. Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure. I saw that and I'm like, is he really not delete the prompt in that?
But in the ESPN McManus story,
he acknowledges it.
He's like, I use a lot of things now. I'm trying to do what I can to find the best out of our team.
I mean, the last time we were here with Nick Sirianni, to be fair, he lost the team. They got boat race in the playoffs, and we all said dead man walking, and what did they do? They won the Super Bowl. The last time we were in this spot with Nick Sirianni, it is funny how literally 2 years later, were right back in the same spot. Now, they didn't get blown out in their playoff game, but I think considering who they lost to and how shorthanded the 49ers were, it felt like a blowout game. Because what did Seattle do to San Francisco the very next week?
San Francisco had no business dominating them the way they did.
No business. None at all. They had no business winning that game. They had no healthy players available. It was ridiculous. And Seattle the next week showcased how shorthanded San Francisco was, and they dominated them, and the game was over in the first quarter. The last time we were here, he won a Super Bowl. So maybe he pulls another rabbit out of his hat and they find a way to do it again this year. And I'm going to be screaming from the mountaintop that their quarterback isn't that good. But that certainly isn't the storyline that I want out of my team in training camp.
Well, the good storyline, I would say, from the Philadelphia end, if we get away from the joking about Nick Sirianni's reliance on ChatGPT, according to many out there, it sounds like Sean Mannion's offense is looking pretty good. Now, it's camp. It's against themselves.
Training camp, a couple of days in.
But I think a lot of people are feeling good about the way Sean Mannion's coaching it. He's very obsessed, detail-oriented. It's a very different. It's back to what it was with Kellen Moore.
Right.
Is kind of the vibe they're getting very early. But again,
they're not going to TP his house a month into the season? Is that what you're telling
me? Let's wait and see on
that. He's not going to get stuff thrown at his vehicle as he's driving down the highway to the facility.
Loaded second hour. We're going to kick it off with a guest in Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. Jake Butt, Big Ten Network, joins us hour two on The Fan.